a phrase that you may hear often, I do, when I ask people what they were looking for when they joined a Unitarian Universalist congregation. I think it's words I said myself when asked this question. People say, I was looking for like-minded people. Very understandable. So I want to trouble those waters just a little bit. Because, of course, as I said, it's something I share too, and to an extent, we need to be with like-minded people. You wouldn't gather, perhaps, in a service of praise and inquiry about spiritual matters with people whose worldviews were wildly different from your own. We need to have a certain like-mindedness to have a conversation. This applies as well to partnerships and friendships. You want to have something in common in a general way of seeing the world, of orienting your life, of making moral decisions, so that you can communicate about the things that matter the most. And that's what we're doing here. We want to be able to communicate about the things that matter the most to us. But we also need to be different enough to keep things interesting. Luckily, this is completely unavoidable. Even with your best friend, the love of your life, the people you know and care about most in your congregation, you're not entirely alike. Like-minded in certain key ways, but not all alike. Thank goodness. We say in our mission, we gather our different paths entwined. And the group that put that together, our mission task force, as they were consulting with the congregation about what needed to get in there, it was really clear that we needed to affirm in our mission statement that we do follow different paths, that that's a really key part of being a Unitarian Universalist and any other faith as well. But we're very conscious of it and devoted to that ideal here. We are on different paths and they entwine. And when we gather to deepen our spiritual lives, nourishing connection, learning from each other, caring for each other, tending to our world, as the rest of our mission says, we're not just accepting that we take different paths. We're recognizing that if we embrace those differences, then they entwine and they create much more in each of us than we could be separately. We're more able to learn from each other because there's difference to learn from. We're more able to tend to our world because we share these perspectives that, oh, I might not have thought of that. This great crowdsourcing opportunity for learning what the world needs and how to help. And even those places where we might feel most challenged by difference, nourishing connection and caring for each other, tremendous depth is revealed when we recognize that we are connecting over difference and caring for people that we don't fully understand and that are who are quite different from us. Layla Ibrahim is a novelist who belongs to the First Unitarian Church of Oakland. She was the director of religious education there for some years, and also, I believe, the co-founder of and the co-director of for many years its annual Chalice Camp. Layla's elevator speech, her brief statement about what Unitarian Universalism is about, is four short sentences. It's a blessing each of us was born. It matters what we do with our lives. What each of us knows about God is a piece of the truth. We don't have to do it alone. Each one of us has a piece of the truth about God. I would suggest a couple of expansions of that. Each one of us has a piece of the truth about everything. I mean, there's things that one of us that we might not know anything about, but at most, we have a piece of the truth about anything worth inquiring about. And especially big stuff like, what might God be anyway, or is there such a thing? Some theologies might suggest not just that each one of us has a piece of the truth about God, but that each one of us is a piece of the truth about God. That the sum total of all beings make up what is holy and good. As Kat told us, that story, as far as we know, comes from Jainism. The story of the elephant comes up in the blind man trying to describe it. Also comes up in ancient Buddhist texts and Hindu texts. It made its way to Persia in time to be immortalized in the Sufi writings of Rumi in the 13th century. And then, as we heard, to England, to Europe, and beyond, where John Godfrey Saxe wrote that poem, that poetic version in the 19th century. But as far as I know, it originated with Jainism. I may just think that because Jainism is the most ancient religion I know of in that part of the world. It's identifiable at least to 900 years before the Common Era, and that's just the first saint of Jainism who's known and identifiable as, oh, we really know he was a real person. Clearly it was around for a long time before then. The doctrine of Anekantavada is central to Jainism. Broken down, that means literally the way of not one side. There is not one side to anything we might seek to understand. And to follow that way is to always be humbly and curiously and openly interested in the other side, sides, the many other sides of a question. This is one of the most central tenets of this religion, and I think it's closely related to another one of the most central, and probably the thing, if you know anything about Jainism, its most central, one of its most central tenets, which is peacefulness, ahimsa, not causing harm. Not only is Jainism a profoundly peaceful religion against war or violence of any kind, it extends that sense of blessing and care to every known creature. So some Jains who are very religious will carry a little brush with them and brush the path before they walk, just to make sure they don't accidentally step on a very small creature and crush it. And will also wear a mask, long before COVID, over their nose and mouth, because otherwise you might accidentally inhale or swallow an insect and cause it harm that way. I don't know how Jainism, that of course is ancient, I don't know how it adjusted in modern years to germ theory and the knowledge that there are things way too small for us to brush away or keep out of our noses and mouths. But that philosophy of ahimsa is in some ways a result of the philosophy of Anekantavada, because every being around us has something to contribute to the picture. We wouldn't want it to be lost. And furthermore, once we recognize that there's no one side to anything, we can no longer be the most important person in the room, the most important species on the planet, the most important nation that knows how things should be done. And this brings us to the P in Jet Pig. If you missed the introduction.
Love the Jet Pig here.
This is Love. They're a jet pig. They have wings, but also a little jet to move them quickly through the universe. And the jet pig is our mnemonic for remembering the newly chosen, identified values of Unitarian Universalism: justice, equity, transcendence. Am I remembering that right? Yes. Pluralism, transformation. Thank you. Just talked about that. Transformation, pluralism, interdependence, and generosity. So the E was not for elephant, but for equity, which I talked about a couple weeks ago. But elephants are cool too. Jet, love loves elephants. And today we are thinking about pluralism. And what it says in our new UUA bylaws, chosen by the General Assembly, including delegates from this congregation in June, is pluralism. We celebrate, listen for the Jainism in here, that we are all sacred beings, diverse in culture, experience, and theology. Now there's that diversity that Diana Eck talked about, right? We just are different. Now a church doesn't have to have diversity. You know, we could do our best to close our doors and say only this kind of person in here, but futile, mean, and completely self-defeating. Let's accept the diversity. Well, this is where pluralism comes in. What are we going to do with the fact that people are different, that people bring a diversity of culture, experience, and in our congregation's theology? Here's the next paragraph. We covenant to learn from one another in our free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We embrace our differences and commonalities with love, curiosity, and respect. To embrace our differences as well as our commonalities is to affirm we're all sacred, and the experiences that we bring are valuable, each a piece of the truth. Because, you know, the blind man who felt the elephant, we're all partly in the right, although also in the wrong. We all have something to contribute. We all have something to teach and to learn from each other. I believe that covenant to learn from one another and to remember that everyone is sacred, that our differences, although sometimes challenging, are the source of that learning and that search for truth and meaning. I think all of that is the best guard we have against what Isaiah Berlin, coming as he did out of World War II, was so worried about: despotism and its precursors, which are things like arrogance, thinking that one person's experience befits them to command the rest. A reminder that no matter how expert you may be, how experienced, you've got something to learn from other people. Which brings us to the little paper you were given by an usher this morning. And folks on Zoom, I'm gonna have an aloud version for you. So if you did not get a little blue paper, if you evaded an usher, or, you know, there's always ways that people don't end up getting such things, raise your hand now, because Eric and Geraldine are there to make sure you've got them. Just a few folks, so yeah, please keep your hand up until if you can, until they've seen you. Awesome. These have lots of different things on them, and they're being distributed at random. And they are prompts for our human scavenger hunt. I'm happy in this to join the board, which has this marvelous goal of spreading joy and a culture of connection and a caring community among us all. And I said, when we were talking about this, came out of the board meeting just last month, I said, oh, great, this fits really well with something I want to do on the patio after the service. Listen, if you have to leave early and you can't do anything after the service, that's fine. Take your little blue piece of paper and maybe you'll have an interesting conversation in line at the grocery store tomorrow. But if you can, use this. Almost every one of them starts with find someone. You don't get a prize for this scavenger hunt, except an interesting conversation. They say, find someone with XYZ quality, characteristic, experience, and ask them about it. From there, you know, it's a conversation. You can go on to talk to somebody else. They might ask you the same thing. The person you're meeting, they have a piece of paper, and they'll ask you whether you fit or not. And we will find each other and have some interesting conversations. Folks who are there on Zoom, the people in the room, that's too many to have this conversation. You can have really fascinating conversations with 20 people like this, but for this exercise, I think you really need to be in pairs, preferably with somebody you don't know very well, like not the person you know are sitting on Zoom with. But so when Heather offers to put you into a room of two, please take the opportunity. And here's your question. A job that you had or have or want to have, ask the person what you like about it. I figure even if you had the same job description, you've got two different answers to that, and you'll learn something from difference. The idea, of course, is to take this not only out onto the patio, but into the rest of our lives. To begin with this curiosity and openness among the people who, to some extent, came here and made a community together because we are like-minded in certain ways. We've got enough in common to talk about these things where we might be different. And you'll see in many of the prompts, it's encouraging you to find somebody who's different. So if you go and you find somebody who matches you on that quality, say thanks very much and keep looking. It's scavenger hunt. And you're gonna get that prize of the great conversation if you find somebody who's not quite like you. As I say, it follows out into the rest of our lives as well. And that's so much of what we're doing here. That's so much of what these values are about, our jet pig values. To practice them here so that we can take them out into the world. And this world needs so badly to move beyond its inevitable diversity and difference and embrace true pluralism, the possibility of all we can learn and do and be if we recognize that we are different as well as similar, and every one of us is sacred.